from here? Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Marston and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Come on, Jimmy. Come on, Jimmy. Cooperate. All I want to do is take one photo of you with my new camera. Now, please, Jimmy, this is for the Royal Photographic Society. I want to become a fellow.
Why? What have you been up till now?
A fellow of the Photographic Society.
Oh, I see.
Jim, they want me to submit a full-face photo.
Well, why me?
Oh, you've got the fullest face of anybody I know. Now, come on, Jim, it won't take a sec. Now, just smile at the camera.
Oh, all right.
Ah, let's see how it looks. No, Jim, that's not a smile. It's a snarl. Say cheese.
I am. I'm saying Gruyere.
Well, just stay like that while I focus.
It'll hurt.
No, it doesn't matter now. Come on. Now, look straight at me. Look at my nose. That's it. Now, hold it.
I don't think that's very funny.
Bentley, honestly... This photography is just another of your crazies. Like when you bought goggles and a spear and took up underwater fishing.
Well, that lasted.
Yeah, only till you got your ear caught in the plug hole of the bath.
But, Jim, photography is different. I'm doing some very good work. Now, look at these studies I took at rehearsal last week.
Oh, yeah.
See this?
Yeah.
This is one of our producer, Charles Maxwell, in characteristic attitude.
Yeah, it's funny how much younger he looks when he's asleep, isn't he?
And this is Take It From Here's glamorous singing star in a rather charming pose.
What's charming about it? You need a shave. Who's this one?
Now, this one. Alma Cogan in her black rehearsal tights.
It's a bit blurred, isn't it?
Well, I couldn't stop my hand from shaking. This one... Oh, yes, it's Wallace Eaton.
Wally, what's he supposed to be, a fellow?
No, I'm afraid I let the flash powder off too near his face.
Well, never mind all that now, Bentley. Put your camera away until Alma's sung her song. I must say, though, your hobby's more interesting than I thought.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll order half a dozen nice big enlargements for my business friends.
Just a minute. I haven't taken you yet.
Me? I'm talking about Alma in her black tights. Jim's not made of wood, you know.
Who's had a girl in each and every part, and you forgot the rules of love that life has always taught, and if you broke as many hearts as ripples in a stream, well, brother, here's the only way that you can be redeemed. Cross over the bridge, change your reckless way of living. Cross over the bridge, leave your fickle past behind you, and true romance will find you, brother. Cross over the bridge. Now, if you built a boat to take you on the greener side, and if that boat is built of every lie you ever lied, you'll never reach the promised land of love, I guarantee. 'Cause lies cannot hold water, and you'll sink into the sea. Cross over the bridge, cross over the bridge. Change your reckless way of living. Cross over the bridge, leave your fickle past behind you, and true romance will find you, brother. Cross over the bridge. I know it isn't easy to resist temptation's call, but think of how your broken heart will hurt you when you fall. 'Cause someday you will find that you are hopelessly in love, and she'll belong to someone else as sure as stars above. Cross over the bridge, cross over the bridge. Change your reckless way of living. Cross over the bridge, leave your fickle past behind you, and true romance will find you, brother. Cross over the bridge.
It's sickening, sir. It's absolutely sickening. When I see the senselessness and stupidity besetting our citizenry, I simply stand there seething.
Well, it's the only man who can moisten a stamp at 20 paces. The distinguished letter writer disgusted of Tunbridge Wells.
Yes, I stand here, sir, where the world may hear me, and I cry, Jacques, Jacques.
I don't think he's here. Mr. Hughes!
Jack! You want it?
You're ignorant, sir.
Ignorant.
Oh. Jacques, sir, is French. For I accuse.
You didn't know that,
yes. And I accuse the shoelace manufacturers.
What have they done?
What have they... Answer me this, sir. Why is it that shoelaces can only be purchased in pairs? Whoever broke two shoelaces at the same time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just...
And I accuse, sir, the people who stand up in front of you in a cinema.
That's not the worst thing about cinemas, Mr. Disgusted. The worst thing, as I believe we have mentioned before, is that films misrepresent real life. Now, Mr. Dunhill will give an example, won't you?
Well, yes, sir. Take those films where the hero has the happiness of his home and the future of his child threatened by a blackmailer from his past.
Sir, it's blackmail, is it, Carfax? Jonquil, run along to bed. There's a good little girl.
Righto, Daddy. Good night, Daddy.
This is my proposition, Colonel. Here in my hand, I have these indiscreet letters you wrote before your marriage. Unless you pay £500, I'll send them to the Daily Gazette.
You cur! I was expecting something like this, Carfax. There's only one way to deal with swine like you.
You can't frighten me.
No. Do you see this revolver? It's fitted with a silencer.
No, put down that gun. You fool, put down that gun.
And so on. At least, in the films, it goes like that. But in real life, as any parent will endorse, this is the much more likely scene.
Sir, it's blackmail, is it, Carfax? Jonquil, run along to bed. There's a good little girl.
Shan't.
Jonquil, Daddy said run along to bed.
What's blackmail, Daddy?
It's nothing to do with you. Daddy has to talk business. Go on, off to bed.
I don't want to go to bed.
This is my proposition, Colonel. Here in my hand.
No, Carfax. Pas devant l'enfant.
I beg your pardon?
That means not in front of the infant. We do French at school. I can sing French songs. Frere Jacques, Frere Jacques.
This is my proposition, Colonel. Here in my hand, I have three letters you wrote before your marriage. Unless you pay me £500, I'll send them to Frere Jacques. Send them to the Daily Gazette. Oh, can't you keep that child quiet?
Jonquil, will you keep quiet while your father's being blackmailed? Go to bed.
Without my teddy bear. I've lost Teddy. I must have Teddy or I can't go.
Oh, give me a hand finding her teddy bear, Carfax, you swine.
Daddy, Nanny said that's a naughty word.
Look here, Colonel. Unless I get £500, I'm going to tell Nanny. I'm going to...
What are you doing?
Just stand up a minute. It might be behind your cushion.
He's a big teddy bear with a blue ribbon round his neck.
Oh, go away. I'm talking to Uncle. As I was saying, Carfax, there's only one way to deal with this, S-W-I-N-E. I've got a revolver here. It's fitted with a blue ribbon round it with a...
Oh, Daddy, I just remembered something. Teddy's in my bedroom.
Well, then go off to bed before I fetch you one I'll regret.
All right. Good night, Daddy. Good night, Uncle Blackmail.
Now, Carfax, what was your proposition?
Those letters on the... Hey, where are the letters? I put them on the sofa. Where's the letters?
I've changed my mind. I'm not going to bed till midnight tonight or ever.
What do you mean?
One squawk out of you, chum, and I'm taking these letters straight to Mummy.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people facing life. This week, their talking point is, what use is happiness if it cannot buy you money? Over to the Glums.
Oh, Ron. Every time I fill up this football coupon, I think the same thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I won the £75,000? You know what? I give my Ron...
37,500.
Ty. Ron, I've thought out what I'd do with my 37,500. I'd give Mother 6,000, and I'd give your Dad 6,000, and I'd give 4,000 to my married sister with the ginger twins, and 3,000 to your Aunt Flossie to help pay for her defense.
Thank you, I'm sure.
Ron, what's up? Oh, I can tell when there's something wrong. You've got a face on.
Well, I don't think it's fair for your married sister with the ginger twins to get more than my Aunt Flossie. Aunt Flossie's had a lot of bad luck. What with being found with that eiderdown in her blouse.
Is only supposing. Oh, isn't it unfair, Ron? We can do so much with money. We can't do anything without it.
Yes, we can, Eff.
Oh, no, Ron, not
go
now.
Go on, Eff, just a kiss. Go
oh,
on.
No, Ron. Yes. No, not with all those fountain pens in your top pocket. Oh. No, Ron, not now.
Well,
hello, hello, hello.
You might at least draw the blinds. You've got the old dear opposite clambering over her window box. I just popped in for a sec, Ron. Your mother wants the tea cosy. She hates getting her hair wet in the bath.
Dad, we were just having a bit of an argument.
Oh?
What do you think Aunt Flossie should get?
Well, it's her third offence, remember? I should say 6 months would be what the old...
Oh, no, Mr. Glum. We were talking about how lovely life would be if we won 75,000 on the pools.
No, you think money makes all the difference? Oh, my children. Money isn't happiness. Do you honestly think you'd be happier sitting in the Ritz drinking caviar than you would be sitting in your own little home with a cup of tea and a suggestive biscuit? Well, do you honestly think you'd be happier?
Yes, Dad. I like caviar. We had some for dinner.
Had some caviar? That was cauliflower. A whole lot of difference. I'll tell you, Eff, this get-rich-quick mentality of your generation, it's all wrong. It's wrong. It's unhealthy. It's not nice. I tell you this much, everything that I ever had or ever will have, I've always worked for and will work for. Worked for hours and hours and hours on end sometimes. You try getting money out of Ron's mother.
Football pools is only a way of passing the time, and it can be very profitable.
That's what Aunt Flossie said about her shoplifting. Look where she is. I'm disgusted with both of you. I'll trouble you to hand me your mother's bonce cover and I'll leave this gambling den. What's that, Mama? You stupid old faggot! Now what am I going to do all next week?
What's she done, Mr. Glum?
She's gone and curled her hair with me Greyhound Gazette.
Somebody passed all the wedding bell. Somebody passed all the wedding bell. Somebody bags stole the wedding bell. Now nobody can get married. Who's got the ding-dong? Who's got the bell? Who's got the ding-dong? Who's got the bell? Somebody know, but nobody tell, 'cause somebody bags stole the wedding bell. We got sarsaparilla soda on the ice.
We got the shoes and the rice, and we got free advice.
We got a bridal suite in honeymoon hotel. But what good is that without a wedding bell? Who's got the ding-dong? Who's got the bell? Who's got the ding-dong? Who's got the bell? Somebody know, but nobody tell, 'cause somebody bought stole the wedding bell. We got very fine detective Sherlock John,
and he is sure to question every single man.
Soon in the marketplace where people buy and sell, be sure to arrest the one who sells the bell. Who's got the ding-dong? Who's got the bell?
Who's got the ding dong? Who's got the bell? Somebody, nobody, nobody tell. Cause somebody bad,
very bad.
Story wedding bell.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
You'll have to whistle, mate. I'm off duty.
Don't you stand for that, Your Grace.
I say, Binkley. Mm. The Stone Age, you know the Stone Age, must have been a fascinating period. And the chaps, those Stone Age chaps themselves, you know, they must have been very odd types.
Oh, yes, Your Grace, they were. We'll tell you about one if you like.
Oh, I would.
Good. Sort of a shaggy man story.
The time of our story is the dawn of history, exactly 500,000 years ago this Tuesday. The Paleolithic Age had begun. Prehistoric man was only one remove from the ape, but already he was beginning to use his intelligence.
Hey, Arg?
What is it, Arg, my son?
I am fashioning a crude implement.
Arg, I'm not telling you again about chipping bits of flint all over the cave. Getting to be bed at night, it's like walking across Brighton Beach.
Now, look, Og, this is an idea I've worked out with a stick sharpened at one end.
I'm not interested.
Please, Og, don't you fancy a nice roast potato for supper?
Roast potato? How do you roast anything?
Watch. See this stick of hard wood,
yes,
sharpened at one end?
Cool.
Well, I place the stick in this pile of dry twigs.
Ooh.
Now I twirl it rapidly. So.
Yeah.
Oh. And see, it begins to smoke.
Yeah.
Now it glows. Blow.
Oh, what?
See, the glow becomes a flame. The wind catches the flame. The flame grows. It goes...
What? It's getting too hot.
Water. Here, quick, quick, water. Fire! 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 Oh! Oh!
The forests covering Europe blazed for 7 years. And it was 8 years before two smoke-blackened, weary cavemen could be seen trudging across the plateau.
Very clever. Very clever. How do you fancy a roast potato, he said. Nice roast potato. The next thing, woof, bang goes Europe.
Og, I have apologized. If you keep on at me, you'll give me a complex.
The best cave we ever had. Listen, Arg, if you get any more ideas... Hey. Oh, what's that?
Look, that head towering 60 feet above the trees. That huge body trampling down great trees in its path.
Oh, it's a brontosaurus. Quick, is your club handy?
Yes, but I'm afraid it's for members only. Yeah, we tried to keep it as exclusive as we possibly can.
Oh, then we're done for. Hey, no, wait, look. Look, what? Another human being going right up to the brontosaurus.
Down, Lulu, down. You naughty brontosaurus. And so you should be ashamed of yourself. No walkies for you tonight. Now just you go back to the swamp and stop molesting these gentlemen.
Hey. Hey, miss.
Yes?
Is that your brontosaurus?
Lulu? Oh, yes. I've had her since she was scarcely bigger than a house. I keep her outside because, well, as a matter of fact, she's not quite cave-broken yet. Excuse me, but are you gentlemen from these parts?
Oh, just passing through.
Oh.
I'm Og, and this is my son, Ug. Ug, straighten up your leopard skin and stop gawping.
How do you do? I'm Ig.
Oh.
Look, I do feel sort of guilty about the fright Lulu gave you. I say, won't you come back to my cave and have a bite?
Well, yes. Yes, miss. Why not? We'll have a party. After all, we're all pals in the Paleolithic.
Jolly good. Well, look, I'll run on ahead and lay the flints. Just give me 2 secs. It's the first cave on the left past the volcano.
Must say, that's a bit of luck, isn't it, Ug? Meeting a nice... Ug, what are you looking like that for?
That chap, Ig. Wasn't he built funny? Sort of like us, yet not like us.
Marcus. Oh, of course. You haven't seen one of them before. Hug my son, I'll have to do a lot of talking to you now. Listen carefully. He is what is called a she. It is not a man, Ugg. It is a woman.
I like it, dog.
Yes, that's what I was afraid of. You see, Ugg, there are so few humans knocking about in this era. Mm. This is the first time you've run across one of the Mark II models.
Oh. Well, Ugg, let's hurry along to Ig. Well, come on, Ugg. Let's get to her just as fast as we can.
Why?
I've just had another idea.
I must say.
Are you quite sure you've had enough, Ugg? There's still a wing of pterodactyl left.
Terror. I don't think I've got room for it. I've had to let out two spots on my leopard skin already. Anyway, we must be toddling now. Come on, Ugg.
I'm not going, Ugg.
You're not what?
I want to stay with a woman.
You want to... I'm disgusted with you, Ugg. If this is a typical example of Paleolithic culture, all I can say is roll on the Neanderthalian age. I can only just say that.
Oh, no, Ugg. I think old Uggers is onto a jolly good idea. Why don't you both stay here for a bit? You know, sort of paying guests. You can have use of cooking pit and all primitive cons.
No. No, I must go.
I think you'll stay, Ugg.
Why?
Listen. Lulu's back in town.
And so Ugg and Ugg got digs at Iggs. For the first time, man learned to live as a community and to turn his thoughts to the gentler things of life.
Look, Ig, I've decorated the cave walls with crude drawings.
Oh.
Here. See? There's a crude drawing of a horse. Next, I'm going to do a crude drawing of a bison.
Ugg, what is a bison?
It is what you use to do the washing up in.
Next, he turned his mind towards improving his food supplies.
Look, Ugg, in these few grains of wheat, I hold the future of our race.
How?
Well, look, I grind them into flour on this stone.
Yes.
Get some water and mix the flour into a paste.
Oh, yes.
Then put a lump of paste into the glowing embers.
Cool.
When it is baked and cool, I cut it into slices, let the slices get stale, then mix them with milk and currants. This is the result.
Well, I'm blown. Bread pudding.
How far man has progressed since we first met him. From a shambling ape-like brute, man is now a noble creature, walking upright, cracking corny jokes, and eating bread pudding. Only one thing was lacking to complete his destiny, the tradition of romantic love.
Why did you knock me senseless with your club and drag me into the swamp?
Because I'm crazy about you, kid. Oh, dearest, put your shaggy face close to mine.
No, Ugg, not here. Supposing a dinosaurus.
Oh, but we'll get married, Ig. Of course, you'll have to wait till the Bronze Age for your wedding ring. But till then, we'll live on love and bread pudding.
Ugg, this is the happiest day of my prehistoric life. Now we must tell your dad. Ugg, we've got wonderful news.
So have I. I've just met Emily Brontosaurus. You don't have to tell me, my children. From this moment, I see the great vista of history stretching before us. Ig and Ugg, you are the start. From your marriage will come children, and their children will have children. And their children's children will have children's children. And their children's children's children will have children's 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 children. And so on.
I say, what fun.
We are founding a family. We ourselves may be crude and ugly. But half a million years hence, progress will ensure that the people who bear our surname will be wise and cultured and beautiful.
But Ugg, what is the surname of you and Ugg?
Oh, didn't I tell you? We're the Glums.
Paris, Sarah Benowitz and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keenans. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and make it.